بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، now sisters, we were talking about the importance of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as I mentioned, dhikr in the context of mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key thing as to understand as far as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned is that this is the, when we talk about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the feeling with which we talk about this meeting? For many of us, we may be thinking of the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely from the context of hisab, purely from the context of possibility of punishment. We ask Allah to protect us from that. But I submit to you that the first way and best way to think about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the context where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said that verily the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else. So if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else, then the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can only think of it in one way, which is the best possible way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have the best guman, have the best expectation from your Rabb jalla jalal. So when we think about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah we think about it as a meeting which will be beautiful, which will be full of glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah cover us with His forgiveness and with His mercy and rahmah inshallah. The issue is that if that is how we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody I love more than anyone or anything else, then what must be my attitude towards what Allah likes and what Allah dislikes? See, just talking about and claiming to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sufficient. The claim has to be backed with something. And again, I am not saying this on my own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُهْوِكُمْ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, say to those who claim to love Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, say to those who claim to love Allah. So when we are saying that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else, so we are claiming to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, say to those who claim to love Allah, fattabi'uni, make my ittiba. Right? So Allah is saying, this claiming alone is not enough. You can claim, that's okay. But just the claim alone is not sufficient. Today, for example, if you ask people, and if you tell people, and if you warn people about the wrong that they do, I'm talking about our own people, all kinds of, we are engaged in all kinds of things which are from borderline to clearly haram. If you tell them, they say, "Arey yaar, chodo yaar, Allah ghafur rahim hai, maaf kar dete." Bolte nahi bolte. Allah is ghafur rahim, He will forgive. Now my point is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to put Iblis, to forgive Iblis and put him into Jannat al-Firdaus, I have got no objection. Jannat belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do whatever He wants. He is not going to ask my permission where he should put this one or that one. However, if you say, what is Allah going to do about Iblis? This is not a matter of doubt. Allah Himself told us what He is going to do with Shaitan. So if somebody still wants to fool himself, that is his right. Most welcome, no problem. But that will not change facts. If somebody who dies on shirk, what is going to happen to him? Allah told us this. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to forgive him if he wants. Who is going to argue with Allah? Nobody. But if somebody says, what is going to happen to somebody who dies on shirk? What is the answer? Answer is very clear. So in this case, we are saying that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we do it from the perspective of, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else. This is my claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your claim is not enough. Prove the claim. How do I prove the claim? By making ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fattabi'uni yubikumullah. Say to them, make my ittiba, then what will happen? Allah will love you. One is that I claim to love Allah, and the other one is Allah loves me. Which has more value? I mean, this is a dumb question. Which has more value? So the point is that as far as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, the logical thing to think about and understand is that anyone who claims to love somebody, how can that person deliberately do something which angers the one he loves? I mean, does it happen in your life? Do you do this? If your children claim to love you and then they deliberately do something which angers you, what will be your reaction? Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any misal. We do not compare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my question to myself and you is this. If I claim to love Allah, then what must my life reflect? My life must reflect everything that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I claim to love somebody, I will do my best to please that person. If I am deliberately displeasing somebody, then it means only one thing, which is that I don't care about that person. If I am doing something and someone says, you know, so-and-so doesn't like it, we say, who cares? Let him not like. I don't care, it's not my problem. So it's not somebody I love. So if I say I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my love of Allah must be reflected in my actions. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even say, fa'atiwuni, he said, fattabiwuni. Allah did not even say, obey me. He didn't say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them to obey you. He said, no, tell them to make your ittiba. Tell them to emulate you. Tell them to imitate you. Tell them to do what you do. Say what you say. Live like you live. Act like you act. Deal like you deal. Whether you ordered it or not. If you love Allah, now how do you, what is the difference between ittiba and itaat? Ittiba, itaat, which is obedience, can only be done when there is something to obey. Obedience can be done only when there is a hukum, when there is a law, order, and then you obey or you don't obey. But ittiba, emulation, imitation, is a sign of love. For imitation, you don't need a hukum. Right? You imitate somebody, you act like somebody, not because that person told you to act like them. You idolize that person. You are like that person because you believe that, you love that person, you think that being like that person adds value to you. So you imitate those you love. So Allah is saying, if you love Allah, then love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because ittiba is a sign of love. So he's saying, if you love Allah, if you claim to love Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them who claim to love me, let them imitate you. Meaning, let them love you, and out of this love, let them imitate you. Then what will happen? Allah will love you. Allah will love them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore Allah will love anybody who is like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the meaning of dhikr of Allah. Is to constantly be in a state of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awareness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Awareness of how we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks to the deen brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, when we say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, obey, imitate and emulate my Nabi, demonstrate your love for my Nabi, and then Allah will love you. This is the meaning of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not only counting beads. It is to imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make his ittiba in every aspect of our lives. and never to deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question itself doesn't arise. How does somebody who is emulating Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even think about disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, doing it is impossible, because even to think about that, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something we can say, you know, we know this is our aqidah. So if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never disobeyed Allah, then how does somebody who imitates him, how does somebody who emulates him, how does somebody who is making his ittiba, how does he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This habit that we have developed of selective obedience, this is a fatal mistake. This is a cancer which will destroy us. May Allah protect us from this. Selective obedience, we do what we like and we do not do what we don't like. And we think this is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is not accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demanded complete and total obedience, not selective obedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance. I will do this, I will not do that. No. Allah has no need for your and my obedience. If you want to disobey Allah, go disobey. It does not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is harming yourself. Why would you do that? If you and I have iman in the akhirah, if we have this belief that we will die, and that we will go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why will we deliberately destroy ourselves by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know something is wrong, we still do it. Why? There's only one answer to that. Because we do not really believe that we are going to meet Allah. I don't know if there is any other answer. If there is some other answer, please educate me. As far as I know, there is only one answer, which is the reason I deliberately disobey Allah, knowing that something is wrong, it means I really don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the harsh, the frank answer to that question. As I said, if you think there is some other answer, please tell me what it is. I don't know what it is. Because if I believe that I am going to meet Allah, how do I deliberately disobey? A mistake is a mistake. I'm not talking about mistakes. Forgetfulness is forgetfulness. I'm not talking about it. I'm saying deliberately, you know something is wrong, you still do it. You know interest-based earning is haram, you are still involved in it. You make no effort to get out of it. I can make a long list of stuff. I'm not going to do that. Let me leave that with you. If I am deliberately disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? My brothers and sisters, I seriously remind myself and you. Please do this. This is a favor to yourself. Sit down and ask yourself one simple question. Only one question. Do I really believe that I will die and that I will meet Allah? I have said this many times before. That's the only question that you need to ask. Do I really believe that I will die and I will meet Allah? If the answer is yes, I guarantee you, your and my life will change from that minute onwards. If the answer is no, then most welcome, do what you want. As I told you, no skin off my nose. I am not paying for it, either in this dunya or in the next one. It is your life, live it any way you like. Makes no difference to me, zero difference. It's my job to remind you, I'm reminding you. Khalas, as far as I'm concerned, I have done my job. I'm free from responsibility for this. Simply sit down and ask this one single question. Do I believe that I will die and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Please do this. Do not do anything else today until you have answered this question, and answer it sincerely, because believe me, when we die, we are dying alone. And when we stand before Allah, we are standing alone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes before they are opened for us by Malakul Maut, and to help us to live our lives in a way where when we meet Him, we will not be humiliated, but we will be forgiven and we will be granted His mercy, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatihi wa barakatuh.